Hi, welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Terrence Page with Cultured Image Grooming Studio.
Yes. How are you doing, Tiffany?
Studio, right?
Studio.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of a mouthful, the business.
Yeah. I kind of like to do things in acronyms.
Yes.
So the acronym for it is SIGS.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. It doesn't mean anything, but I just like acronyms.
But it's easier to say it that way. It rolls off your tongue, I guess, a little bit better. So you have a barbershop.
Yes, ma'am.
And you just recently kind of decided to really step into legitimacy and have a bigger place and really kind of like own this entrepreneurship thing that you're doing.
Indeed.
How long have you been barbering? Is that how you?
Yes, that's the correct term. Okay. Barbering. I've been barbering for 4 years. This will be the fifth year, July.
Okay.
July 16th,
I think. And you did a lot of your training in Nashville.
Nashville, Murfreesboro area. I went to school in Lebanon. Took me a little longer than most to complete, but I completed it. And then my introduction to the barbering world was out of Murfreesboro. I worked at a campus shop. Blue Raider Barbershop directly across from MTSU. I was there for about 2 years. God gifted me with some awesome mentors to work up under. And so, yeah, I was there. Then I went to another location, went to Nashville, and now I'm back home. So.
And we've kind of talked about this before. You've kind of just felt like you're from here.
Yes.
Your family is from here.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
But you felt like you were just kind of called back. Like this is what the plan was.
It wasn't no feeling. I felt like I didn't want to come home. That's what I felt like. But you know, a lot of times it's not about what we want to do, but about what God has us to do. And so I felt he was telling me to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stopped fighting it and came home, and lo and behold, all the blessings started to pour down.
So I say this a lot with entrepreneurs that, okay, so you went to barbering school and you learned how to cut hair.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody tells you how to run a business at that, right?
No.
So, you know, why come back to Cookeville and start your own thing instead of just go work for somebody else?
Well, I think that there's a lot of answers to that.
We got a half hour show.
Yeah. The larger part would be to get active, in the community, because growing up, I didn't see business owners that look like me.
Mm-hmm. And for those, we're on the radio, so look like you is a brown skinned man.
Right. African American, native black, however you want to call it. But I didn't see business owners that look like me as African Americans and native black people. And so, once I got into the larger demographic, Nashville, Murfreesboro, you know, they're plentiful. But, you know, when you reflect looking back at home, they were very, very far and few between over a long period of time. You know what I mean? And so I felt it was very, very important for me to come back for the younger generation. I do have an 8-year-old daughter here. I've got 4 kids, but one of my daughters does live here. And so I felt for kids coming up, even the more seasoned people of the community, it was good to be able to come home and, you know, rehabilitate an image and then come back and just really, really get knee deep in the community.
Did you feel like the difference between you being a kid here and Cookeville now is different with the African American community?
Yes. I mean, it's evolution, of course. You know, everything's going to grow, get bigger and stuff like that, you know, but even from a young kid, 4 or 5 years old, to when I left at 20, roughly, you know, 27, 28 years old, there wasn't a lot of change, or so I thought, you know, because a lot of times we have our blindfolders on and we're camouflaged by opinionated thoughts of what's going on, what's been going on. So,
I would think maybe you don't necessarily instill in you that you can make that impact or that change, that you matter enough to be a community leader.
Yeah. I never perceived myself as such, you know, but by having some pretty predominant people in my life, from different angles, as far as spiritual mentorship, just mentorship period, you know, I realized that God gifted me with something. And so, like I said, it kind of goes all in back together of where I came back home. You know, I wanted to own a business back home. I wanted to own a barbershop back home, a multicultural barbershop back home. And then also I wanted to come back and lead, you know, because as a kid, I didn't really see a lot of local leaders coming up, you know.
Well, and that's interesting. That's a challenge to have a multicultural barber shop. That's probably its own kind of burden on itself.
It is, especially in a community like Cookeville, because it's not as diverse as in Nashville or Chattanooga, Knoxville, Memphis, or anywhere like that. You know, we are a micropolitan community, but when you look at diversity, it's not on a large scale, you know. So to the normal person, I think it would be challenging. But, you know, to me, I've been a people person from day one. You know, I don't see the outside of a person. I see the inside of their heart and their character. That kind of speaks to me. So, but yeah, it's different, you know, than what I've been accustomed to. But, you know, we all got to make adjustments in life. So it's just about making the adjustment.
So in case you're just joining us, we have Terrence Page, who owns Cultured Image Grooming Studio. So you came back to Cookeville 3 or 4 years ago.
I came back to Cookeville.
I
came back to Cookeville December 2018.
Okay, so not a year and a half-ish ago.
Roughly.
And you started off kind of over on Washington in just like a one-room kind of...
One little studio, 480 square feet.
Yeah.
And going back before that, I started cutting hair in Cookeville in May. I went into another establishment and just kind of determined that that's not what I wanted. I wanted to do my own thing. So I went, and it's very ironic. The place that I started at first at North Washington, we'll call it.
Okay.
That was actually the first location that I looked at in 2010 when I started barber school. You know, I had one of my friends, he had a little clothing store, hat store downstairs. He was like, man, you got to go check upstairs. There's a space open. And so I went and looked, and it was actually a stylist. She was packing up. She was about to close down. That was in 2010.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward to 2019. That's where I launched Cultured Image Grooming Studio.
It is weird how life kind of comes back full circle the
very
way it's, you know, and I think there's all timing and a plan, and, it, you know, 2010 wasn't the right time.
Right.
Go spread your wings and think of how much you've learned and gained from being in other places that you can bring back to this community.
Yes, yes. And so that was the foundation. Little, like I said, 480 square feet. Started off by myself. Yeah, that was the foundation.
And so what made you, in a year and a half, I mean, you now have how many square feet?
I've got approximately 1,163 square feet.
Okay, oh, just approximately.
Yeah.
On Willow. And so what made you decide, okay, like, let's do this. Let's jump into entrepreneurship and have an employee at your place. You know, you got somebody else cutting hair there too.
Again, I would like to say it was me. But again, it was just God, you know, being in tune.
But there's a difference between listening and not listening.
And that's what I was about to say. It was just being in line, being in tune, listening, you know, a little bit of obedience goes a long way. And so I knew I always wanted a bigger spot, but I didn't know if I was ready, you know. And I think one of my mentors told me, he was like, you know, if you wait for the time to be ready, you'll be waiting forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was like, you just kind of got to go with what God's telling you to do. Look at a little bit of the signs and then just go from there. So I actually went over and prayed about the location months before I even pulled the trigger. You know, God, if this is what you have for me, I need you to send me the signs and let me know that it is. And I'm there. You know, a lot of people would say that I picked a bad time to move because, you know, we were impacted by the tornadoes. Couple weeks later, we go into COVID. COVID's lasted several months, and they're like, "Why are you moving during all this? Yeah. Why not move?"
Right.
One of my barber peers, he's like a barber brother. He called it the time to double down. And I think that's what I did during this downtime of COVID-19 was I doubled down. Where a lot of people were losing businesses and losing jobs and getting out of stuff, I doubled down. I brought more onto my plate. You know, I took on some more. So
I actually think I might have heard that you were going to home visits a little bit.
I did like maybe literally two because my thing was I wanted to do.
But you were able to kind of focus on the business aspect.
I was. And that's what I was about to say. Like I was able to focus on the business aspect and structuring it because going into a larger building, a better demographic geographically, you know, because Washington was good. The corner of Washington and 10th Street was really good, but being on Willow right across.
Were you able to be as multicultural as you wanted to at the Willow or at the Washington?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've got, you know, young, old, you know, Caucasian, Native, Black, Hispanic, you know.
But I think having that storefront too is going to
game changer.
Yeah.
Game changer.
You're going to get more recognized, but yeah. I'm sure there was some things you had to do to that space that if you were still taking appointments and trying to do that hustle, you wouldn't be able to focus on the business aspect.
Of course, you know, because the walk-in traffic where I'm at now is so much better than what it was on Willow. You know, we have Domino's right beside us and then we have the laundromat. So, you know, the walk-in traffic has been great. That's bringing a whole new level of diversity in itself. And, you know, just the geographical exposure of being in you know, a more convenient, a more trafficked area, I guess you would say.
So we just have a few minutes before we go to commercial, but what's your biggest fear taking this step?
My biggest fear?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah.
This being my only barbershop that I have.
You get comfortable and you don't.
And I don't grow and expand. That's my biggest fear.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about kind of your roots here and how you started and how you grew up.
Sounds good.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry. I have Terrence Page with Cultured Image Grooming Studio.
Yes.
So that's kind of where you're getting your feet wet now, but you have dreams and visions. And mm-hmm. like you said, your biggest fear that this would be the only one, but you're already kind of launching a clothing store, mm-hmm. clothing thing. So tell me a little bit about that.
Going back, the definition of cultured, a lot of people have misconfused, I guess. Mm-hmm. So the definition of cultured is refined by good taste, good manner, and good education. A lot of people ask me, why didn't you not name it Tad's Barbershop or Terrence's Shop or something? And I was like, because it's not about me. It just involves me a little bit. So one thing that I was able to identify growing up here in Cookeville, we never had anywhere to go buy clothes. You know, of course you got Ross's, TJ Maxx, you know, Rose's, JCPenney's, but like, as far as like urban wear and stylish wear, there was never anywhere for us to go buy clothes.
I was going to clarify,
like, that's the people that wear that demographic of clothing, mm-hmm. you know, the urban wear.
African-American community.
And even those of not, that aren't African-American that wear it, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? There was never anywhere we could go buy that type of style at. And so, again, just networking my way into a trade show, while I was at a barber show, it was going on in Atlanta in the same building, and me and my barber brother were there, and I was like, man, I gotta get in because that fits my vision. You know, that fits the vision that I've created.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in, got in, built some relationships with some manufacturers, and the rest was history. And you fast forward a year and some months later, I'm going into launching Cultured Image Clothing.
So. And you have a space in the barbershop that it's kind of, I feel like the atmosphere you're trying to create is just like a 1950s like barbershop where people just go and hang out and, you know, they get their hair cut, but they stay for an hour.
I'm looking to merge. I would like to have the old school feel, mm-hmm. but the kind of modern tradition to it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? This being why I'm incorporating the clothing store all in the same building. You know what I mean? I want that atmosphere of, like you said, being able to sit, fellowship, congregate, what's going on in the community and stuff like that. But I also want to keep it modern, you mm-hmm. know. I'm looking for a different generation. You know, back then, that's where all the older people, your grandfather, your great grandfather sat. That's where they sat in fellowship and talk about stuff, you know, told lies about when they was in high school and what records they broke and stuff like that. Whereas now I'm looking to get the younger generation in. You know, I want that age group of 13, 14 to, you know, mid 30s that are still active, that are still out, that are dealing with a lot of the issues that we're seeing today. So that way we can start a different type of dialogue.
Right. So what, and then the other aspect that you'd like to put in there at some point is
barbecue,
a barbecue shop. So your real love, as much as it, I mean, you're clearly passionate about barbering.
Yeah.
Your real love is cooking. And so you want to have a barbecue shop, and what are you going to call it?
Well, it's going to be something.
Okay, we can keep it under wraps if you need
yeah,
to.
Yeah, we'll keep that under wraps.
Okay. But coming,
they'll in the tie next, in together.
The next spot. But I mean, how great would that be? That just kind of puts into that atmosphere of like hanging out and you know, fellowship and, you know, kind of talking. What, as a Black business owner yourself, what would you? I'm kind of a advocate of you have to know better to do better.
Of course.
And not that you are the be all and end all of Black business owners in the community, but what would you like to let people know as a Black business owner?
You can do it. It can be done right here. You know, again, going back to what we said in the first segment, growing up, I didn't see Black business owners like that looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I literally can count on my hand how many I've seen, and I'll have some fingers left over.
Mm-hmm.
So just to let people know that you can do it, and you got to be able to take that leap of faith. The time is never going to be right, and the time is never going to be perfect, but you just have to be able to take that leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Place yourself around people that are influencing you, motivating you, and pushing you, and challenging you. Not the yes man, you know, because everything that you do is not going to be right. You're not going to know it all.
Right.
So if you have somebody around you that's telling you, yeah, man, that's perfect. That's it. Every time you come up with an idea.
Sometimes maybe one of those might be okay.
One of them's cool. You
it
know
kind of,
I mean?
You know, boosts your ego a little bit, pats you on the back. But
but you have to be able to have that constructive criticism.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have a pro for everything. You got to have some con.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So. And then just kind of going back to what you said about, you know, introducing the barbecue thing, that goes from being raised in a humongous family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a grandma's boy at heart. My grandma had, there was 11 girls and 2 boys, 13 kids. And so we grew up eating, you know, cooking was love, cooking was soul, you know, really pouring. They poured their hearts in some of the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so like,
so you come from a background of passionate people.
Oh yes.
So in case you're just joining us, we have Terrence Page with Culture Image Grooming Studio. But you know, we've kind of touched on the fact that you're from here,
mm-hmm.
you grew up here, and the first time we talked on the phone, you told me, I mean, you have roots and roots and roots family. So tell me about that a little bit.
Going back to my grandmother and all her siblings, they're from a place in Clay County, Tennessee, Solana, Tennessee. It's called Free Hill. And the backstory to that, there was a slave owner, plantation owner that came over from North Carolina. They brought a lot of our ancestors over with them. The slave owner died. The wife, Virginia Hill, let them know if they were to take care of her and her kids, they would set them free on the land, thus being Free Hill. My grandmother and a couple of her sisters migrated to Cookeville, raised families. My mom, born and raised here in Cookeville. And like I said, our family's huge. You know, when you have 11 girls, you know,
there's a lot of babies.
There's a lot. My great grandfather passed in 1992, and don't quote me on this, but I can give you idea. The numbers were, when he passed in 92, he had 40 plus grandchildren. He was like in, I want to say he was in the 60s great grands, and he had a large number of great great grands at that particular time. I'm a great grand.
Yeah.
And so come from a huge, huge family.
It's really interesting. So my grandmother, both of her parents came from, I think 11 kids is her mom and 13 kids was her dad. So my great grandparents,
wow.
both sides of the family. So my grandmother has 100 first cousins, over 100 first cousins. Like, how do you even, I mean, I can't even imagine that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That, wow. I thought we had a big family.
But when you have it on both sides, right. It's like, it you know, yeah. There's just a lot. So, and then my grandma comes from three kids herself. So
really?
Their parents were like, nah, we're going to slim down.
Well, my dad's roots tie back to Smithfield, Tennessee as well. So, you know, both sides of my family, you know, Upper Cumberland.
Yeah.
Born and bred, you know, which is another reason why I really wanted to come back home.
So growing up in Cookeville area, did you have hopes and dreams? What do you think as, you know, a 10-year-old Terrence, what do you think you were going to do with your life?
Be the next Bo Jackson.
Okay.
But realistically, you know, looking back now, again, why I wanted to come home and get active in the community is because I don't like the stigma that Native Blacks, African Americans are under right now, as in to breed and raise every young boy to be the next LeBron James or Ezekiel Elliott or football, basketball, baseball player. I don't think that we need to focus so much on breeding those individuals. You know, we need city councils, and we need politicians, and we need lawyers, we need doctors, we need entrepreneurs, we need skilled traded people that are successful in communities. So that way you look at a diverse, you're getting more of a diverse demographic of what you can achieve.
I think you have this vision. We've talked about sometimes when you get too grand in your dreams and hopes that you can't touch the ground as much.
Yes.
And so I really think, it seems like you have this vision that to change the world, almost, you have to change the communities one community at a time.
One community at a time. And you got to be able to get to the bottom level. You know, I gave you the illustration last week of, you know, I can't go out here and climb to the top of a tree and then just jump down to the ground. Mm-hmm. I can't do that.
Be connected with that.
And still be in one piece when I get down. My legs mm-hmm. are going to be broke. My arms are going to be broke or something if I don't plan a strategic fall.
Mm-hmm.
But in retrospect, if I'm not climbing strategically, then I've just climbed to the top of this tree and I've not achieved nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times I think that's when you're dealing with a lot of the organizations and places and things of that nature, that a lot of times, you know, we're progressing actively, you know, but are we progressing strategically,
mm-hmm.
you know, to where your everyday person that has to encounter racism or inequality or injustice, are they being affected? Are their stories being heard?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the times they're getting swept under the rug.
Right. Well, and so when you gave your advice about being a African-American business owner, your advice was to the African-American community. Do you have advice for the Caucasian community?
Again.
Of what to know, of just how to be more inclusive or how to be better?
Again, just having the faith, of course, you know what I mean? And then I'm a person of perspective. You know, it's not all about my perspective because I'm not always right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, that's why I said, I mean, this is your opinion and you're not the spokesperson.
Yeah, no, I'm not always right. So it's just being open to having a different perspective. You know, I like to used to say that I wanted to wake up every day and get a wrinkle on my forehead. And so that means I want to wake up every day and learn something new that I didn't know yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's something of someone learning something about a different ethnicity or a different trade I didn't know how to do, whatever the case may be. You know?
Right. I think the networking aspect of everything is so important. But I think it's just there's so much value in sitting down and having conversations with people and just learning where they're coming from, where you're coming from, their background, you know, and really realizing how much people have in common.
Yes.
But then not turning a blind eye to the diversity or the differences, but respecting those differences.
Of course,
is really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of times people are having conversations not to respect the other's opinion, but to be right or wrong.
Mm-hmm. To just get their message out there.
Just to get their message out there. And a lot of times it's not even about being heard. It's just about being effective.
Yeah.
You know, I can go out and be effective and nobody ever hear anything that I have to say. And that's fine. You understand what I'm saying? I'm at a point now at 35 years old where I'm okay with that. My voice doesn't have to be heard any longer.
Mm-hmm.
As long as my work is being felt and being effective with one person or 100 people or however the case may be, as long as my work and God's will for me is being effective, I'm okay.
So before we wrap up, how can people find you? Tara's page.
I am on Facebook, Tad Fades, and then Cultured Image Grooming Studios. Also Instagram, Tad_Fades, and then, of course, Cultured Image Grooming Studios. You can find me at 506 North Willow Avenue. I'm between Domino's and Express Laundromat. And yeah, that's it. Come get a haircut.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.